Welcome to Cornerstone. We're glad you've joined us. Today, we'll be hearing from a special guest speaker. Listen in and be encouraged as we spend some time in God's Word together.
Good morning. So good to see all of you. My name is Eric. It's an honor for me to stand before you as we open up God's Word and spend a little time together. Welcome today. Today begins kind of a new chapter in the life of this church family. Last week we celebrated with Brent and with Elby and kind of launched them out into their new path of ministry, excited for them and all the things that they will do for God's kingdom, which also creates some great opportunities for us here at Cornerstone. I'm excited to see what God has planned for us in the coming weeks and months and years, and truly believe that God will bless us in our next phase of this church family. If you're a guest with us here today, just want to say a word of welcome to you. If you are maybe a long-time attender here at Cornerstone, but maybe you haven't taken that full step to fully engage the church body here, I want to encourage both of those groups of folks to, at this time in the life of this church family, I want to challenge you to fully step into who we are as a church. And there's lots of different ways that you can do that. Of course, we've got lots of opportunities to study in God's Word, get involved maybe in our adult Bible fellowship, or maybe one of our men's and women's Bible studies that happen throughout the week and the year. Maybe get involved in one of the home teams, which is just a small group of folks that kind of lives life together. And so lots of different ways you can get involved. Of course, I believe one of the greatest ways of stepping into your faith is really taking opportunities to serve in this church, to serve in different ministries that reach out into the community. I believe there's no better way to get connected to this church family by locking arms and really going out and serving and being a part of God's kingdom. So I want to invite you to do that if you need to. If you need a little help in taking those next steps, I hope you'll come visit with me or one of our shepherds or one of our staff folks. Lots of folks here that can help you get engaged in lots of different ways. So let's dive into our lesson this morning. I want to start off just by talking a little bit about kind of my past. I went to college at Abilene Christian University, and when I was there that freshman year, I remember meeting another student. His name was Alan, and Alan was from California, and he was a little bit different, not because he was from California, but he was a little bit different to me because he was blind, and I had never really spent time with a blind person before, but Alan was fantastic. I mean, he was outgoing. He loved to engage with folks. He loved to ask questions. He loved to tell jokes. He was, I mean, if you were around, you knew Alan was there. And I first was introduced in Alan because we had a number of different classes together. And, you know, at the beginning of the semester, you get into a class and the professor, you know, kind of takes the role and starts reading everybody's name off. My last name is Fridge. And so, yes, I've heard all the Fridge jokes that are out there. But anytime, you know, that first day of class, the professor would read my name. He'd say, Eric Fridge. And Alan would always say, that guy's cool. And so I always liked Alan because he liked my name. And so Alan was fun to watch. But at ACU, we had what happened every day. We had chapel. If you don't know, Christian College University's chapel is just kind of a time during your day where the student body as well as all the faculty and staff all get together for a kind of a little Jesus party in the middle of the day. And they have a little time of worship, and there's a little encouraging message, and then you're off onto your day again. Well, early on in the semester, I remember going to chapel, and typically chapel was led by, the worship time was typically led by students, and I remember on this one particular day, there was a student that was leading, and as he got up to start leading the singing, I could tell he was a little bit nervous, which you would expect. It's a big coliseum, thousands of folks there, and he's you know, singing and trying to lead this group in worship. And after he led a couple of songs, somebody else got up and gave a little message. I don't remember what the message was, but after the message was over, the song leader, he got back up one more time to kind of sing just the closing song, right? And he was excited about it, and so he jumped right up and just started right into that song, and everybody else started singing along with him. But the problem was is that he forgot to tell everybody to stand up for the closing song. And so we're kind of like sheep, you know, unless somebody tells us to do something, we're just all sitting down. Well, it just so happened that this last song, the title was Stand Up for Jesus. Good classic hymn song. And so we're all there in this Colosseum, thousands of folks, and we're singing Stand Up for Jesus, but we're all sitting down. Everyone except one person, Alan. Everybody started looking at Alan, this blind man, who was standing up while we were all sitting down, singing, stand up for Jesus. And it didn't take long for all of us to realize what had happened, and everybody starts standing up, and we're singing louder than ever. But I remember that moment because I remember thinking how interesting that here in this group of smart young students, of talented faculty, the one man that really had the insight to know what was going on was a blind man. This morning we're going to take a look at a story out of the Gospel of Luke at another blind man who has an encounter with Jesus. And you've probably read this story a number of different times, and it's a short story, it's simple, but it is so rich with so many, what I believe are some great applications for each one of our lives. So if you would, go ahead and open up your Bibles. Luke chapter 18, starting off in verse 35 is where we're going to spend a little bit of time. So here we have it. Verse 35, it says, "As Jesus approached Jericho, a blind man was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard a crowd going by, he asked, 'What's happening?' They told him, 'Jesus of Nazareth is passing by.' He called out, 'Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me.' Those who led the way rebuked him and told him to be quiet, but he shouted all the more, 'Son of David, have mercy on me.' Jesus stopped, and he ordered the man to be brought to him. When he came near, Jesus asked him, 'What do you want me to do for you?' 'Lord, I want to see,' he replied. Jesus said to him, 'Receive your sight. Your faith has healed you.' Immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus, praising God. And all the people who saw it, they also praised God." So here we have this story where this blind beggar, he's a man who's sitting along the roadside outside the city of Jericho. Jericho was a busy, bustling little community, and there would have been lots of people coming into town. Now, the side of the road was outside of the city was probably not a bad place for this man to be, you know, positioned, because as people were traveling into town, he would be a reminder to them what a great life that they have. Because no matter how tough the road into town was, no matter what challenging things that they were facing in their life, they could look at him and think, boy, my life is better than his, because he has no opportunity. The only opportunity he has is to beg for money, beg for a livelihood, beg to be dependent on others. And so this man is sitting there, and he would sit there and beg for money, and this was a good place for him because, you know, he would be asking for money before folks went into town, before they went to the market, before they spent their money. But about this time, as you read through the Gospels, this is kind of at the peak of Jesus' ministry, because at this point, Jesus had been known as a great teacher, but not just a great teacher, but wherever Jesus would go, amazing things would happen. I mean, sometimes he would feed multitudes of people. Sometimes he would heal the sick. Sometimes people would be brought to him that were lame, and he would heal them. Sometimes the blind would regain their sight. The deaf would hear. People began to talk about all the things that were happening around the ministry of Jesus. And so because of that, wherever Jesus and his disciples went, they always drew a crowd. And that's what's happening here in this scripture. As they're walking into Jericho, people begin to get excited because they know when Jesus shows up, something great is going to happen. And that's where he comes across this blind beggar. As they're moving into town, the town starts to kind of get into a frenzy. And so the man asks, he asks somebody that's around it. He says, who is it? Who's coming? What's going on? He wants to know what all the excitement is about. And so one of them says, well, it's Jesus of Nazareth. I mean, and that's all this man needed. I mean, he began to make some noise, some serious noise. He began to shout out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. But as Jesus was coming into town, there was another group that was with Jesus, and they were kind of self-appointed Jesus handlers. I mean, they wanted Jesus' experience there in Jericho to be really a great one. They wanted him to go to all the right places and to meet all the right people. And suddenly, as they're walking by and this man starts shouting, they began to shut him down. They tell him to be quiet. They thought this blind beggar would have been an embarrassment to their city, to their town. And they didn't want Jesus to notice him as he was coming by. But, you know, as you read this story, it's really a little bit more complicated than that. Because at this point in time in history, for a lot of people, they thought anybody with that was physically or mentally challenged, you know, that there was something that they had done, or maybe something in their family that somebody had done, and this was God's way of punishing them. If you would, turn over to John chapter 9. It's another story of another blind man, and this kind of gives you a little bit of perspective on kind of the thinking that goes on during this time. John chapter 9, starting in verse 1, it says this. It says, as he went along, he saw a blind man from birth. His disciples asked him, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus responds. He says, neither this man or his parents sinned, said Jesus, but this happened so that the works of God might be displayed in him. See, this was kind of the common thinking of the day. If there was something wrong with you, it must have been something that you did. But Jesus sets the record straight. He says it wasn't this man's fault, it wasn't his parents' fault, but instead, Jesus gets them to see this as an opportunity. What's happened to this man is so that what I'm about to do, what Jesus is about to do, can bring glory to God. Now, I don't know about you, but I've never had a physical or mental disability. And I don't know what that challenge is like. Now, I know some of you might be thinking, well, are you sure you don't have... No, I don't. I've never experienced those kind of real challenges in my life. But I have had difficult things happen in my life. And I wish I could tell you that I faced each of those situations, different challenges, different things that made me anxious, different things that, you know, brought fear to my heart. I wish I could tell you that I faced each of those situations with great faith, that I, you know, put all my faith and trust in God, and I didn't worry, I wasn't anxious, I wasn't overwhelmed, I didn't make the people around me nervous. I wish I could tell you that's not the truth. But I do wish I had this kind of attitude, this John chapter 9 kind of attitude. In fact, it makes me want to think I ought to just put that sticky note on my mirror in my bathroom or in my car just to remember. You know, when challenging things happen in our life, it's not because we're being punished. It's not because we've done something wrong. But instead, if we would look at those things as an opportunity to display what God's doing in our life, we might have a little bit different attitude. We might be able to approach those situations, maybe challenges at work or maybe at school or in our relationships. We might be able to face those with a whole new different perspective if we think, you know, I'm going through this situation not because of something I've done, not because God doesn't love me, but instead God wants to show the people around me that my faith through these challenging situations brings glory to God. And so Jesus kind of changes his disciples' perspective in this, but let's jump back over to Luke 18 one more time. So back to Luke 18, and again, we find this place where these folks that are bringing Jesus into town, these kind of Jesus handlers, they're actually not making a way for Jesus, but instead they're keeping people away. And that's a little bit troubling to think that there are people that are surrounding Jesus that are actually keep getting in the way of people getting close to Jesus, which should be a real caution to all of us as believers, just to maybe from time to time ask ourselves that same question. Am I doing things in my life that are keeping Jesus at a distance? Are there things that I am doing by my words, by my actions, that are actually keeping people from getting closer to Jesus? Thankfully, this didn't stop the blind man. Even though they told him to be quiet, he shouted all the louder. He said, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And I mean, horror of horrors, as this group is coming into town, Jesus stops the parade that's going on. I mean, for all the folks that were wanting Jesus' visit to go so well in Jericho, for him to go to all the right places and to meet all the right people, they were shocked because Jesus stops this parade and he says, "Hey, who is that that's crying out? Who is it that's shouting out my name?" And so Jesus stops, and I can just imagine that for a moment he stops and he gets down close to the man as they bring him to Jesus. And then Jesus asks him this amazing question. He says, "What do you want me to do for you?" Think about that. That's the creator of all the universe, and he's asking this blind beggar, "What do you want me to do for you?" Basically, the blind man, he says, I'm tired of being on the sidelines. I'm tired of being pushed out of the way. I want to be in the game." And so he says, "Jesus, I just want to see." Now, he could have asked for anything here in this moment where he connects with Jesus. I mean, he could have said, "You know, Jesus, I've had a pretty tough life. It would be nice if you just give me a nice big pile of money, you know, so that would take care of me for the rest of my life." Or he could have said, "You know, Jesus, it would be great if you could change everyone else's perspective and that they would be nice and they would be kind to me and they would just take care of me." But that's not what he says. Instead, he says, "Would you change me? Would you change me so that I can see?" And then Jesus, who is the way, he restores the man's sight. The one who created him, the one who knit him together in his mother's womb, he makes it so that his eyes work like they're supposed to. And I don't know if you notice this, but not only does Jesus restore this man's eyesight, but he also restores him back to community. Because suddenly now that he can see, suddenly he's no longer pushed aside. No longer is he told to be quiet. No longer is he the town embarrassment. Instead, he's the one that takes that next step. And the scripture tells us that he followed Jesus, praising God. And when all the people saw it, they praised God also. So this man that went from being ignored to now being the hometown hero, the man that they told to be quiet was now leading the parade and showing people what God had done. So I think as we kind of look at this story, I think an important question for each of us to ask is, where am I at in this story? Who am I in this story? Am I a spectator that's just kind of following along in the crowd, just waiting for Jesus to do something amazing, not getting too close, but still, you want to be around when something great happens, right? Are you just a spectator right now in your relationship with Christ? Or are you a Jesus handler? Have you asked yourself that question? By the decisions that I make in my life, the words I speak, the actions I do, am I keeping people away from getting close to Jesus? Or are you like this blind man who puts his faith in Jesus and follows him? And not only follows him, but brings others along on that journey. who are you in this story? Now, I told you the story, it's simple, it's short, boy, but it's powerful. There's a lot of good stuff that are in this story. And I always find it interesting when I read these stories out of the gospel, how Jesus, when he came to earth, he didn't go to, you know, spend a lot of time with all the religious leaders of the day. He didn't go spend all of his time or his effort with politicians or those that were rich and powerful. No, instead, he went and spent time with regular folks. Just regular folks. But you notice what he did when he spent time with regular people? He always pushed them to move towards people in hard places, people that were broken, people who needed mercy in their life. Jesus was all about pushing his disciples that way, and I believe he does the same thing for each of us today. And as Jesus pushes us to people that are marginalized, people that are on the sidelines, it always causes people to ask, who is this Jesus? And that's exactly what they were asking at this day and at this time. But it's interesting that the answer to that question, who is Jesus, it actually comes off of the lips of a blind beggar. Because you remember back at the beginning of this story, you know, when the blind man asks, who's coming? Who's coming down the road? Why is everybody getting so excited? They say, it's Jesus of Nazareth. But then the blind man, he begins to shout. Remember that? He begins to shout, Jesus of Nazareth, have mercy on me. Is that what he says? It's not what he says. He says, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Isn't that interesting? This blind man who's marginalized, they tell him who's coming, but yet he calls out for Jesus, son of David. I mean, shouldn't he have said, like, son of Mary or son of Joseph or son of God? Why son of David? I believe it's because this blind man, he knew Scripture. He understood the promises of God. Because about 1,000 years earlier, God had promised King David that one of his descendants would be on the throne for all of eternity. But that was true for a time, because David's son and his grandson and his great-grandson, for about 450 years, the line of David ruled over Israel until the Babylonians came in and wiped out Israel. And for a time, for the Israelite people, they thought all hope was lost. Until Isaiah came along. Isaiah was a prophet. And Isaiah began to prophesy about a king that was coming, a Messiah that was coming. Isaiah chapter 11, it says, a shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. That's David's father. You see, even though the line of David was removed, God wasn't done. And he said, there'll be a new family tree growing up from the stump of Jesse. In other words, God would fulfill his promise by starting over with a new family tree. So what is this beggar? He was crying out, son of David, have mercy on me. And that's because that this blind man, he recognized what Scripture was talking about. He recognized that Jesus was the promised one. He recognized, without even seeing him, that Jesus is the Messiah. He was the one that had come to make all things new. I imagine that's because our blind beggar was a great student of Scripture, even though he couldn't see. Isaiah 35 says, so to those with fearful hearts, be strong and do not be afraid. Your God will come. He will come with a vengeance, with divine retribution. He will come to save you. Then the eyes of the blind will be opened, the ears of the deaf will be unstopped, which is, I imagine, why he was crying out so loud. He didn't want to miss this opportunity, and so he was crying out, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me, because he knew that Jesus could heal him. Jesus could make him whole. Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. It's a simple prayer. It's not overdone. It's not asking too much. It's a simple request to God. You know, this blind man, he could have asked for anything from Jesus at that moment. He could have said, you know, Jesus, my life's been hard. I deserve a little bit of kindness in my life. I need a break. I've had a tough life. He could have said, you know, people have mistreated me all my life, and he could have played that victim card, but he didn't. Instead, he says, Jesus, could you show me a little mercy? Could you show me some relief? I just want to see. He wanted an opportunity to see life from a new perspective. I wonder what kind of parents this young man had. I wonder what his home life was like. We don't know at what point in his life that he lost his sight, but we do know that someone in his life very intentionally passed down their faith to him, so much so that he had Scripture in his heart. He knew the Scriptures. He knew that there was a Messiah coming. He knew that Jesus could make all things new. And it was at that moment that his faith showed up. It was in that moment that his faith came very, very real as he encountered Jesus. I wonder what that was seen was life after that day. Maybe he went home. Maybe he went to see his parents for the very first time. Can you imagine the tears of joy? Can you imagine the celebration as he came home and said, look at what God has done in my life. As we look at these stories of Jesus, I can't help but think that these stories are given to us to remind us about Jesus' heart, his heart for those who are broken. I believe as followers of Christ, we're called to move toward people in hard places who are broken and who are often asking for mercy. As people of faith, if we don't move towards those people, who will? Who will? I mean, if we don't have that kind of faith that is willing to reach into somebody's life who's just asking for a little mercy, for a little grace, if we're not willing to do that, who will do that for them? I know as we look at our world, you don't have to look very far to see broken people. I mean, there's people with all sorts of challenges in their life. And I know as I kind of look around our community and I look around our world, and you see so many opportunities where you think somebody needs to do something. It can be overwhelming, so overwhelming that you kind of say, well, I don't know where to start. I don't know where to begin. I think we need to follow that strategy of Jesus. You know what his strategy was on helping people? One at a time. One at a time. Find someone that needs to know Jesus. Find somebody that needs a little relief. Find somebody that needs some mercy in their life, and you be the one that displays that to them. Jesus noticed people. Jesus loved people. Jesus restored people one at a time. Maybe you're here this morning and you're facing some challenges in your life. I want to encourage you to maybe take on that John chapter 9 attitude and think of your challenges, your problems, your situation, not as something that is meant to punish you or hurt you, but instead as an opportunity to grow your faith. Maybe you're here this morning and you've been watching Jesus from afar for a long time. Maybe you've been following, waiting for Jesus really to do something amazing in your life. Well, let me go ahead and tell you, he's already done something amazing for you. It's just a matter of receiving that. Maybe this morning you're ready to take your faith to the next level. If you haven't put Jesus on as Lord and Savior of your life, I hope you'll do that. And if you'd like to study with somebody, if you'd like to talk to somebody, if we can help you in that journey, we want to walk with you. But it takes that step of of stepping into the game and drawing close to Jesus, because he desperately wants to draw close to you. This morning, if there's anything we can do for you as a church family, we want to know about it. If there's something we can pray about, if there's something we can come alongside, if there's some way you want to be engaged, we want to meet you right where you're at. You can talk to just about anybody here in the room is ready to engage you. We just got to know about it. And so I hope you'll do that. So we're going to sing one more song together. I'm going to pray over us, and then we'll finish out our time together. Let's stand as we pray together. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on us. Lord, we want to be able to see better in our lives. Jesus, please help us to see just how much you love us and how much you want us to love others. Father, give us to take the steps towards people in hard places with broken spirits so that they might be able to receive your grace and your mercy just as we have done. Father, for this church family, we want to be a group of believers that are always following your truth, that are always leading in your love. Father, we want to be a church family that makes a difference here in this community. And so we ask that you would help us to see those opportunities better each and every day as we follow you. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
Thanks for spending some time with us today. For further information about today's podcast or our church in general, please visit us at cornerstonecbc.org. That's cornerstonecbc.org. Thanks. See you next time.